I invite you to open your Bible to Psalm 119. We're going to cover this chapter tonight. I was just curious to see who would react to that. It's only the longest chapter in the entire Bible, with 176 verses, broken down into 22 stanzas of 8 verses apiece, each one starting, commencing with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now you know more about Psalm 119 than you ever wanted to know. We can go home. No, I'm kidding. Psalms 119 has so much truth in it. In fact, Psalms 119 carries with it a lot of repetitive thoughts. And it's kind of like taking a song to teach us truth. For example, some of you may know the scale the old-fashioned way, not C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C, but some of you may know Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Si, Do. Do you remember that? Some of you may have learned it by singing Do, a deer, a female deer, Re, a drop of golden sun, Mi, a name I call myself, Fa, a long, long way to run, Sol, a needle pulling thread, La, a note to follow, so, Ti, a drink with jam and bread, and that will bring us back to Do, ho, 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 Do, a deer, a female deer, Re, a drop of golden sun. Okay, maybe not. Maybe you didn't learn it that way. But Psalm chapter 119 is kind of that type of song. See, the little Do, Re, Mi, Diddy taught you something. It taught you how to sing Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Si, Do. Psalm 119 is set to teach you the truth of God and who He is and what His Word is based on A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Or actually the way they would sing it, Aleph, Bet, Bet, Aleph, Bet, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. That's all I remember. Okay, I got 6 Hebrew letters. I quit after that class. But the idea is using in Hebrew, if your Bible has breaks, you could look at chapter verse number 1, you'd see Aleph, and then in front of verse 9, you see Bet, and then in verse number 17, Gimel, verse 25, Dalet, verse 33, Hey. Well, look at there. Aleph, Bet, Bet. I did it right. Gimel, Dalet, Hey. Vav, Zayin, Heth, Tet, Yod, and it's the Hebrew alphabet. It's the letters. And each one of these segments, the word begins with that letter. Now, I told you that just so you understand why it's a long book. It's 8 verses about God that start with a letter, and then 8 more verses about the same truth that start with another letter, then 8 more verses about the same truth that starts with another letter, and then 8 more verses of another truth that starts with the same different letter. Same truth, different letter. But right down in the middle of one, there's a really interesting verse that jumped out to me, and I'd like you to take a look at it. It's verse number 54. The reason it jumps out to me is because of what it says about music. It says, Psalm 119, verse 54, Your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. This verse catches my eye because it speaks to me of the soundtrack of life. There are a lot of different translations of this, but the one that really jumped out to me is the New Living Translation. I want you to listen to this translation of this verse. It says in the New Living Translation, Your principles have been the music of my life throughout the years of my pilgrimage. Your words, your principles, your decrees have been the music of my life throughout the years of my pilgrimage. Another word that you could use to describe this is a score or a soundtrack. A score is a series of musical notes that tell a story. It's different notes, each one in a different way, a different key, a different tempo, and a different style, but it all comes together. This morning in our minister's group, we were talking about music, and I played the tuba in high school. I was the oomp of the oompa-pa. It was my part to go oomp, oomp. And it was somebody else's part to go, pa, 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 pa. And you put us together, we had, ooh, pa, pa, ooh, pa, pa, ooh, pa, pa. It's the visual effects, isn't it? Folks who are listening to this on cassette, just miss it out. But you see, an orchestra, a soundtrack, a score takes all these different elements that are so distinct and puts them together to form this undergirding to tell the story. The music tells the story. I mean, movies wouldn't be what they would be without music to communicate sadness, fear, anticipation, excitement, love. I'm having fun. I don't know about y'all. Music. I love the way this New Living Translation has this verse. Your principles have been the music of my life throughout the years of my pilgrimage. And so, just like a musical score, just like a soundtrack, sometimes we've got fast, energetic, upbeat music in our life, and sometimes our life has been slow, down, dark. Sometimes it's bright. Sometimes it's cloudy. Sometimes the music of our lives is completely out of tune. Ever been there? So what do we do when it's out of tune? What do we do? I want to look at this idea of living in tune with God's music. Living in tune. And what I want to do is I want to share with you a really practical example that I hope will help you remember a teaching. Sometimes it's good to have a visual. I'm not going to do any more jumping jacks. That won't be your visual. I'm not going to do the fat man dance. I mean the rich man dance. Same thing, right? But I do have something I want to show you to see if we can learn about living in tune. I'm going to grab this guitar up here and share with you about how these things work. This is a guitar. My repeat, no, I'm kidding. This guitar has six strings, and these six strings, when played rightly and in tune, when in tune, sound pretty together. And you can make it the soundtrack of your life. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Beautiful. Sometimes things get out of tune. And our life feels kind of yuck. So how do we live in tune? I want to use this to talk to you. First of all, I'll start off by talking about what do we tune to. I want you to imagine for a moment that there were no constants. That everybody could take an instrument and they could tune to whatever they wanted to. I can take this guitar, and many people do this, and they tune the guitar to itself. And that's fine. And you can tune the guitar to itself, and you can play and make music and have fun and enjoy yourself. But then when you go to play with somebody else, if they tune their guitar to themselves, and another guy's tuned his guitar to however it sounded good to him, you get together, you're going to have that lovely word called a cacophony. It's just this crash, this grinding on your ears. There's got to be a constant. It would be okay if everybody could live by themselves and play by themselves, but once you start getting together, the results would be horrendous. I once read about a church in South America. I can't remember the name of it, but supposedly they had hundreds of guitars in their worship, in their Sunday morning worship. The church had, 50 or 60,000 members. They had miles of pews. It was a huge, huge, huge church. And they had, according to what I was told, hundreds of guitars. I went on the internet to try to see if I could find something about them, and I didn't. But I pulled up a story about an event that took place last year in Spokane, Washington. I think it was June 29th or June 30th, 2 years ago, 2003, where 520 guitarists got together to set the Guinness Book of World Records record for the largest guitar band. And they did it. They played for 1 hour. A song, I can't remember what, This Is My Father's World, or This Is Something, I don't know what song it was, but for one solid hour, they played this song over and over and over, 520 people. Now, they verified it, each one of them was given a number, every one of them wrote the words and the chords to the song on the back of their shirt, so that the people behind them could see the chords, and then they'd walk around a bit for a solid hour, and they set the record for the world's largest guitar band. It was easy to set because nobody ever tried it before. So I mean, they could have had 10, and they would have set the record, probably. But it was certified by Guinness. But what caught my attention was this. The Reuters headline and the Reuters article about it, I'm going to give it to you exactly what it says. This is, I'm sorry, Sunday, June 20th, 2003. It says, the headline is, "No one asks for encore from 520 guitar players." And the first sentence the article said, "They may have played out of tune, but at least they're the world's largest guitar band." What caught my eye was nobody wanted an encore. Why? Because 520 guitars out of tune is not my idea of beautiful music. One guitar out of tune is not my idea of beautiful music. What did they need? They needed something to tune to. They needed a constant. They needed something that wouldn't change. In the world, in the musical world, there is a constant. It's called A440. I don't know how many of you have heard of it. A440 is the tuning of a piano on the key A just before the letter C, the number C, and it's this note right here. This note, A440, is actually recognized by the U.S. Bureau of Standards as being a standard, an international standard by which music can be tuned. 440 stands for the fact that there's 440 vibrations per second. Precisely, not 441, not 439, but exactly 440 vibrations per second. Every note has a number of vibrations per second. And when you have that standard, if everybody tunes to it, then everybody is in tune to each other. This is an electronic tuner. In the olden days, they had pitchforks. They would take a pitchfork, they'd strike it on something hard, and they would hold it on the head, on the edge of the guitar, and it would make this wah sound, and you could tune one string of your guitar to that, and then tune the rest of your guitar to that one string. Well, now we have these magical instruments. They're not magical, they're just electronic. And if you'll look on the, you can't see it very well, but when I'm talking, you can see that some lights are lighting up on there. Can y'all see that red and that green light? And if you came up close to me, you would see it's got a little needle that's flipping and flopping back and forth over here. And I'm singing a G sharp sort of kind of, now I'm down to almost in tune. And it's horrible, me doing that. But this thing is calibrated electronically to have its key component A440. So if all 520 of those guitars had tuned to this, or if all 2,000 or however many hundreds of guitars there were in that South American church would tune to one simple standard, they would be in tune with each other. See, the other alternative is everybody tuned to themselves, or one guy tuned to the next guy who tunes to the next guy who tunes to the next guy, and by the time you get to the 520th, they're not in tune with the first guy. But if everybody tunes to one thing, to one constant, then almost, forgive me for using the word magically, but just magnificently, if I can say it that way, they're perfectly in tune with each other. They don't have to be in the same room with each other. They don't have to know each other. They don't have to have anything to do, but they are in tune with one another because they tune to the constant. The constant. Well, that's the music world. How about in God's world? What is the constant? Well, we read it. We read it. We say Jesus, and He is, but I want you to look at this very verse again that we read, Psalms 119, verse 54. He says, "Your statutes are my song in the house of my pilgrimage." Your music, your word, your principles, your decrees are the constant in my life. Your word, O Lord. Now, there's another verse that says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is established in heaven." There's another verse that says, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever, stands forever." So there is a forever constant called God's word. And if our heart and if our life lines up and is in tune with this word, then we're in tune with everybody else who's in tune with this word. This is such a key for marriages. This is such a key for friendships. This is such a key for every relationship. If I will tune myself with the constant, and if my wife will tune herself with the constant, we will be in tune without even working on it. Now, if I say, "I'll tell you what, I need to tune myself to you," or "you tune yourself to me," it may work in the short run, and it may be a temporary fix, and that's good, but it's not going to last like being tuned to the constant, to the forever established Word of God. He is faithful. And the common theme of God's music that runs through our life, all of these different ones who wrote in the Psalms understood it, the common theme is faithfulness. God is faithful. I want you to look at one verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where you'll see Paul declaring this very same thing. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he's writing to this young man and he's given him some warnings and some instructions for his life. 2 Timothy 2, he shares with him what appears to be a hymn. It's kind of a Greek form of poetry. And here's what he says in verse number 11. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he is faithless. No. That's what you expect. That's why this works. It's a piece of poetry that works. You have an expectation of what's going to be said. Everything that is stated to that point, if we died, we'll live. If we endure, we'll reign. If we deny, he will deny. If we're faithless, you expect it to say he will, but it doesn't. That's why this poetry works. The incredible truth of God's Word, the constant of the universe, is that he is faithful. Just as A440 should supposedly always be A440, God is faithful, is faithful, is faithful, is faithful, is faithful. Even if other things change around him, he cannot deny himself. He cannot be untrue to who he is. So that is the constant. God, his word, as revealed to us through Jesus Christ. That's what we tune to. And it's so important that we do that. Just remember this. Musical instruments need to be tuned to a constant. Guys who make their living as piano tuners travel the country. They don't do it much anymore because we have electronics equipment that is tuned perfectly from the factory and doesn't need help. But anything with strings, like pianos, have to be tuned. Now, they have to be tuned to the constant. You know that on a piano, there's something like 22 tons of pressure with all of those strings. You realize how minute a change it can be that can get something in tune or out of tune? It doesn't take much. But even if everything else was 440 and you were 439, you'd know it. We need to be with the constant. Now, the next question that I have three questions. One is, what do we tune to? Number two is, how do we get out of tune? How is it that we arrived at this out of tune state? Well, let me go back to my natural illustration here of the instrument. The first way that this guitar, one of the common ways this guitar gets out of tune is through the weather, through humidity, changes in the weather. Even in a building like this, when we all leave here, these electronic thermostats change to their normal setting when we're not here. There can be a 20-degree change in this room. And I'll come back the next time. Let's say it's summertime, and normally it is, we keep it around 72 in here. But in the summertime, we let it run up to 85 degrees. And then the thermostats kick back on and run it back down to 72. I'll come back in here because this wood has expanded and contracted, and all the stuff has changed. This guitar, though I left it perfectly tuned when I left it, will be out of tune just because of the change of the weather. When I go to different places, I never leave my guitar in my vehicle overnight. Those dramatic 20, 30-degree changes in weather wreak havoc on vehicles. Humidity getting in there and causing the wood to swell. Air conditioning causing the wood to pull, I mean, the moisture to come out of the wood. All those things cause changes. Well, let me give you a comparison. There are weather changes in our life. You can call them the storms of life. You can call them the humidity changes of life. You can call them whatever you want to call them. But there are weather changes in our life that cause us to stretch and shrink and expand and get out of tune. There can be lots of things that happen in our life that will, trials, difficulties, uncertainties about the future, about the past. It can cause our life to get out of tune. And that's the most common one. That's the way that most commonly, or one of the most common ways that these things in our life get out of tune. The second way that happens is much more subtle, and it's lack of use. Interesting how I can perfectly tune this guitar, and I could put it in a perfectly humidified room or dehumidified room, and leave it for 3 weeks, and when I come back, it's not going to be in tune. Even though the humidity was the same, the temperature was the same, the weather was the same, there was no outside circumstances, just the fact that it lays there not being used, the strings stretch at different way, different speeds, and wood settles in different ways. So just being a lack, just having lack of use can cause it to go out of tune. Well, this can happen in our life. Go to Judges chapter 16. I want you to see an example of somebody who kind of let things go. And through lack of use or for not paying attention or not focusing on the important things, thought he'd just pick up his guitar and start playing again. But when he did, it was out of tune. In Judges chapter number 16, you know the story of Samson. I want you to key in on a very, very important verse. Chapter 15. You know, it would help if I was in Judges. Joshua doesn't have what I'm looking for. Judges chapter number 16. Did I say 15? I want chapter 16, verse 15. We have Samson in love with this young woman named Delilah. Everybody blames Delilah, but Delilah was who she was by nature. It says in verse 15, then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You've deceived me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength is." See, 3 different times he's tricked her, and she's wanting to know where his strength is, and he's tricked her. "Well, you got to wash my hair and tie it up in pretty little bows. You know, you got to get brand new ropes that haven't been used on anybody." And he's just done all these things. He's lied to her. Verse 16, it came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, "A razor has never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me and I will become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all that is in his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. Verse 19, she made him sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his hair. Then she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. And I want you to key in on verse 20. It says, she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. See, he thought everything was okay. "I'll go out. It's just like every other time. Every other time. I've done it before. No big deal. I know I've let my spirituality sit on the corner. I know I've let my spirituality sit on the shelf. I know that, but it's nothing's changed." In reality, something had changed. He'd gotten out of tune. He needed to tune up. One more example, if you go to Mark chapter 6, and this one's almost the opposite of what I just said with you, but it not just lack of use can cause a guitar to go out of tune. You've heard it happen right here. Overuse. I can be playing this guitar, and you've seen me bang on these things. You know, get to really hammering it hard, and the next thing you know, it's out of tune. Because I've played it so hard, I've stressed it, I've put extra effort into it, I've fatigued the strings. And as a result, next thing you know, it can be out of tune. Well, in Mark chapter 6, there's another interesting example of some folks who have the same thing happen. In verse 6, Jesus had sent some folks out to do some great ministry, and things were taking place, and good things were happening. And again, we'd be in the right place. It says there was also the issue of John, and John the Baptist being beheaded and all of that that took place. It says in verse 30, the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. That's Mark 6, verse 31. And they went away, in verse 32, in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. My point is this. There was so much busyness and so much activity and so much going on that they were in danger of getting out of tune. They were in danger of being overused and overworked. And so Jesus said, "Hey, come away. Come away by yourselves." Do you see that? You see how overuse and overwork, you can fatigue yourself. You can run yourself ragged. You can run yourself ragged serving God. Teaching Sunday school and teaching Awana and being on the worship team and coming out for work days and volunteering in 7 different nursing homes and leading 6 Bible studies, and now I'm adding on to it, but you know, you can actually do that. You can work yourself out of tune. We think that we're doing spiritual things, and they can be of great spiritual value and benefit, but there's got to be times where we stop and slow down and say, okay, Lord, tune me up. Another way that, I don't have a verse for, but I think it's real simple that you can understand. When I break a string on this guitar, it's instantly out of tune. Last Sunday, I think it was, I'm playing away and boing, that string just goes. Instantly, the other 5 strings are out of tune. And I would relate that to a catastrophic event in our life, a catastrophic break or a catastrophic issue. We know then, it's pretty easy to know then that we're out of tune. But those are times that we need to come back in tune with the constant of God's Word. So that brings us to that final question. We talked about what do we tune to and how do we get out of tune. The last question is, how do we get back in tune? Well, Philippians chapter 1 is where I'd like you to look. And this is a key verse, folks. You and I have to realize that just like an instrument, we can't tune ourselves. My guitar is not auto-tuning. It's not self-tuning. It can't go find the tuner, plug itself in, twist its, these are called keys, twist its own keys and get itself in tune. Now, this may sound counterintuitive. I'm teaching about being in tune, so what do we have to do to be in tune? You can't do anything. You have to let the Lord tune you. It's key. In Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, Paul writes to this group of believers, and he says in verse 6, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He didn't say, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will allow you to complete it. He didn't say, I'm confident that he who started the work will watch you finish it. No. There's only one who can tune our lives the way they need to be tuned. And so, even with what I'm about to say about being tuned, I want you to understand that God's the tuner. And He tunes. Now, the difference between us and an instrument is, will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? No. But why do we say to our maker, what are you doing? The difference between me and an instrument is I have a will. This instrument doesn't have a will. So I can submit myself to his tuning, or I can run from his tuning. I'm going to be tuned. And how do I get tuned? Well, how do I tune this thing? I joke with kids a lot of times, and when I've done presentations, chapel services, or work with children, sometimes I'll get my guitar pick, and I'll show them it's very important that when you play an instrument that you have your guitar pick in tune. Let me see if I can tune this thing up a little bit here. A little bit closer. Hold on. Let me tune it. I'm going to buy it right there. Okay. Let me tune it. A little bit more. I'm closer. A little bit closer. That's close. I got a little more fine-tuning to do, but what I do is I pick at them. I'm telling them I'm biting the pick or I'm cutting the pick. No, I'm reaching up here and I'm turning the skin. Y'all saw me. I didn't trick you, did I? You guys are smart. Y'all are smart like that. I just lost the pastor's wife. The way you tune an instrument is by stretching the strings. Now, I said to you while I go on a piano, there's over 22 tons of pressure. 22 tons of pressure. With those dozens and even hundreds of strings that are in a piano, I don't have a clue how much pressure there is on this neck, but there is a metal rod inside this neck to reinforce this wood. If it wasn't that metal rod, this wood would snap. It would snap. There is a tremendous amount of pressure on these strings or pulled on this neck. So the only way you can tune this thing is to stretch it. gets old after a while. The guy who's doing it enjoys it, but everybody else is kind of like, I wish he'd quit that. But that's how you tune that guitar. You stretch the strings. You hear that? Never knew I could make a guitar tuning spiritual lesson. Now, a while ago, I reached over and I untuned half of these strings, just yanked them. But by stretching them back and by having the tuner's ear, I was able to get these strings mostly in tune. Point of it is, how does God tune us? He's going to stress us. He didn't want me to say that, did he? You'd rather me say something like, he's going to put us in a day spa. He's going to send us for a mud bath. Let us sit in the jacuzzi and kind of mellow. That's what we'd prefer. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul had some tuning to do. Brother Buddy mentioned on this recently, so I won't go into it at length, but in verse 7, it says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, or if I could say it another way, to keep me in tune, to keep me from getting out of tune, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to stretch me, to make me uncomfortable, to torment me, to get me out of my comfort zone, to keep me from exalting myself. And of course, he warned God to say, oh God, please remove this from me. I don't want to be stretched. I don't like it. I'm uncomfortable. This isn't pleasant. And what did God say? In verse number 9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Power is perfected in weakness. And so when I look at this, I realize that the stretching in our lives can often be the master tuner, tuning us, stretching us, making us uncomfortable. I can almost hear this guitar. There are times when those strings are going, oh, don't twist that anymore. But I've got to. If I'm going to get it in tune, I've got to twist it. That guitar gets settled in a comfort zone. It gets complacent. It enjoys where it's at. It's stretched out just right. And I go here twisting on these knobs, and it's like, no. Sometimes the Lord allows some things to come into our life to tune us. When I was a missionary, we, living by faith, didn't have salaries, and didn't have the dedicated support. We had certain commitments from certain churches that would give, but never knew from month to month what the commitment was going to be. All of us missionaries often talked about how that very thing right there was often the thing that kept us in tune with God. Because we depended on prayer and depended on Him to take care of that need week to week to week to week. You know, as many times you go down and I've told you about opening that mailbox, sticking your hand in there even though you couldn't see anything, just making sure that the postman hadn't maybe used some rubber cement and stuck it to the top of the box or something, you know, see if there's something in there. Make sure it wouldn't hide underneath the dust. Well, God allowed those, I believe that God allowed even the trusting in Him for our daily bread to keep us in tune, seeking Him. God allows pressures and trials to keep us in tune. Now, here's the beautiful thing. I go to tuning this guitar, and I'm pretty good at it. I can do it. I can tune it to itself, as you saw just a while ago, without an instrument. I can use an instrument and get it really right on. But I'm human, and I'm finite. And there's times I'm tuning, and I'll break a string. But you can rest assured God's not going to break any strings. You can rest assured that the master tuner knows what he's doing. And you can trust Him, just like the clay should trust the potter. Being twisted. Okay. Well, one question I didn't ask as we go back to Psalm 119 to wrap things up was, how do you know when you're out of tune? Now, the reason I didn't ask that question is because usually the answer is pretty obvious. being out of tune is usually pretty obvious. When those vibrations, those sound vibrations are clashing, when you got 440 going over here and you got 452 going over here, it's usually pretty obvious. You may not recognize it right away as the singer, but it's unmistakable. Just listen for the howling of the dogs. Oh, they'll tell you. Is there some howling going on in your life? It may be somebody's trying to tell you something. You know, the point I want to make is that there is a song in our life. There is a constant in our life. It is God's song, His soundtrack. Back with me to Psalms 119, verse 54. Your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. In the days of my sojourning, while I'm on this earth as a pilgrim, there's a soundtrack going on. The New Living Translation says, your principles have been the music of my life through the years of my pilgrimage. Your principles, your decrees, your word, God, is the music of my life. Sometimes I'm in tune with His music. Sometimes I'm not in tune with His music. We can seek to live in tune, making ourselves accessible to His tuning fork. Father, thank You for Your wonderful promise, Your soundtrack, the music of our life. It is Your word, O Lord, that is forever established as our principal, constant, unchanging, forever established. Lord, thank You for reminding us that we can resist or we can cooperate with Your tuning. Help us to know when it's You that's making the adjustments, that's doing the stretching, that's pulling us outside of our restful comfort zone. And help us to seek for that tuning, Lord. In those times of inactivity or even in those times of overactivity, seek for Your tuning. In the changes of our life, in the seasons of our life, to seek for Your tuning. Father, in the crashes of our life, in the broken strains of our life, to seek for Your tuning. And to trust You that Your ear is perfect and Your hand is steady and Your love never fails. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.